Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. Live.
Well, thank you for inviting me on your show, Adam.
No, I'm glad you came over. Stacey Burgess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, I said it properly.
Burgess.
Burgess. Yeah, oh, that's
enough,
better.
Adam,
I should have got it.
Enough.
Stacey Burgess. I appreciate you dropping by. You know, I actually had her coffee cup here, Robin Hoffman. I had the chat with me cup.
Yes.
That I planned on having coffee with.
I know. She's fantastic, isn't she? I had so much fun on her show.
Yeah, she's amazing. One of the kindest people I met. She's actually came on this show before, and we dove into part of her life in a short amount of time we had. But she put me in contact with you.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she directed us. You know, and like I said on the phone, like, I don't want to know anything. I know a little bit. And that little bit is kind of what I like to start with, because I like to see it organic, you know, where it comes from and all. Before we get into it, what's some background on you? Where were you born? What do you do? That kind of stuff.
Well, before I answer that, let me give a little disclaimer to your viewers. This is my first live show, so I apologize for anything that may come out of my mouth. My filter is
You can fucking say whatever you want.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah, there is no fucking filter here. This isn't TV.
Okay.
And we don't give a damn.
All right. Well, that's I roll well with that.
Let's Perfect.
Put it this way. Yeah. Well, a little background about myself. I'm a 50-year-old single mom, and I have been selling investment vacation homes since 1992 in like the Four Corners Central Florida area.
Mm-hmm.
I work for an awesome company, IPG, Florida. But from that, I've done so much all over the world with meeting people. At one point, I spent multiple days every single month in the UK and the Middle East, pretty much educating people on what, you know, how to own a vacation home, how to get the best returns for the vacation home, that kind of thing. So I have a 21-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old son. He's a little sports crazy, which in turn makes me a little sports crazier. So
pull that mic a little close to you. There.
Yes, right. There we go.
Yeah.
So normally, no one has a problem hearing me. I'm on the louder spectrum normally.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
So in a
nutshell, well-traveled. Well-traveled. A heck of a salesperson. Yes. You've met people from all over the world. I got you.
Yes. So that's kind of, you know, that's my work life. My passion in life is nonprofits. I got into helping different nonprofits, I can't even tell you, 15 years ago. I kind of became the go-to person when national disasters would happen, and I'd go on social media as of late and try to gather as much supplies. What help can we, you know, aid in whatever has happened around the world? I helped Habitat Humanity build houses after Katrina.
Yeah.
And my latest was the Bahamas. And my heart really
went
out.
They took it bad, didn't they?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
We jumped on the bandwagon, myself and quite a few friends, to help the Bahamian people. I was boots on the ground within days of the hurricane. In the beginning, it was more of a relief effort. Excuse me, not relief. It was more survival, trying to find people alive. After that, it became more of a relief and how can we help these people actually live in an area that's just been demolished. I've dug a 13-year-old girl out who was buried on top of her mom.
Oh, God.
And it's horrific. And
I don't think a lot of people really understand. Oh. You know, they hear about, especially if you're in Florida, sure, mm-hmm. you know, or along the Gulf Coast, right? Yes. You've experienced hurricanes. But I don't think people really understand how much devastation those mm-hmm. things leave behind, man. And the Bahamas got tore apart.
And what people don't realize is how, because it is a third world country, they think, oh, everyone's pretty much been to the Bahamas most of the time, you know, vacations. But what they don't realize is that when something does happen, they don't just have a relative to go live with. Their house was destroyed. Most people, the median income is like $4,000. a year.
Wow.
By the way. So there is no there. They had people walking and picking up nails and trying to hammer pieces of their homes together with a rock. So I went there and we set up supply chains. I worked with a great group, Bahama Strong, to really try to make a difference. And what I saw with the Bahamas is the power social media has to reach so many people.
Yep.
At one point, I was able to contact a friend who was in the medical field, and he was able to speak to a lot of, you know, his people higher up. He got $500,000 worth of medicines shipped down to me by semi. When he said, "I got you some medicine," and then this semi shows up, I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, you think he's got like a satchel coming, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking Tylenol. Oh no, it was like, you know, you had to think, the hospital was wiped out and flooded, so everything that was in it was contaminated. They had nothing.
Yeah.
And the relief efforts that you all think, Red Cross stuff, they have to go through a lot of bureaucracy and red tape.
A lot of red tape.
We were able to put in our backpacks and you know, hike it in. And I'll tell you, it's a long story, but some of the incredible things that we experienced there really made my heart go out to the Bahamian people. But
and it's still going on.
Oh, it is.
People
think
the hurricane passed. All right, everybody's fine now.
Oh no,
it's been 2 weeks. They've rebuilt.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, just today, I probably had 15 messages on our WhatsApp link with all people who are still over there saying what their needs are, but how can we get it to them?
Yeah.
So there were so many people who put forth a lot of effort, whether it was sweat equity or check equity. So many of the pilots that from Air Unlimited who donated their planes and their times that we got
to get stuff
there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but with seeing how much power social media has it to help and to bring things forward, I realized that this time, it might be a great time for me to roll out my true, where my heart is with nonprofit, and that is with the anti-sex trafficking. 4.5 years ago, my daughter was kidnapped and by a sex trafficker. She was groomed online, and people think this happens in third world countries, which it does. But no one realizes that Orlando is number 3.
What?
3 in the United States. Yes.
Holy shit.
No shit, right? And
Number 3?
Number 3, Orlando. It's because of the amount of people who come here. Where there's
international travel.
International travel, conventions. So, you know, all these pervs come here on different work conventions, you know. Everyone thinks that the men who are doing this, and women, by the way, who are trafficking these kids, are like the monster that we create. You know, we say, you envision this like just horrible looking person. They pretty much look like everyday Joes.
Yeah.
And how they're getting our kids to they're grooming them so that they then send pictures to them online, then they use that over their head and say to them, you know, hey, I will leak this picture out on social media or tell your parents if you don't do this, this, and this. And because it touched me personally with my daughter and with our nonprofit Greenham Project, we're trying to educate everyday people on how they can look for the signs that something may be awry with their child. But also,
how old was she?
She was 15.
15.
So they started grooming her when she was 15 in August. And she was at a sleepover for a youth, like a youth group, girls empowerment kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, pull that close to you. Keep it close right to you there.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
so,
it'll pull back to you if you need it to.
So with that, all of her friends, they went on this Kix app. And from there, that's where she met the man who subsequently tricked her into thinking he was a 17-year-old football player, getting her to send pictures that, you know, were not acceptable, and he used that to get her to go with him. He sold her, and there were 4 people who bid on her.
Oh my God.
Yep. 4 people who bid on.
So I think people think of like that movie Taken, right? Where they kind of meet, they see you, and then it's like an hour later they try to grab you.
Right. And that happens as well.
Yeah.
That happens in more like foster care systems, kids who maybe not have a great network who's looking out for them.
Yeah.
There's what we're trying. We are setting up Greenham Project is workshops to educate the parents, going on speaking engagements so that we can educate the common Joe on what to look for there. But it is different how they groom a girl and how they groom a boy, and they do horrific things to our kids. And a lot of parents think that just because their child is home sleeping in bed, that their child's not being sex trafficked. It doesn't mean your child has to be taken for them to be doing these things to your kid. Each child has a value of $300,000 to the sex trafficker.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, right? Guess what? Sex trafficking has surpassed arms, and the only thing higher in it is drug dealing.
What?
Yeah, so if your child is a commodity, they'll go to all risks to get that.
Yeah, I mean, 300 grand in other countries. I mean, no kid, number two, just below drugs. So even firearms.
Correct. It vacillates. Holy shit. You know, what, you but know, still. 6 months late. To be in the top three.
Yeah.
So
if you ask me, that is an epidemic.
Exactly. And
forget the coronavirus bullshit.
I know, right?
How many? I mean, I'm sure you probably have stats. How many a year or a day or, you know?
Yeah, I would have to get back with you on what the annual stats are. But you know what? It's happening in Orlando. It's happening everywhere in the United States. It's not just happening in third world countries. So it is our kids. I was not a lackadaisical parent. I knew about the fears of internet.
Yeah, let's. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go there, right? Because okay, I'm going to play that devil's advocate side, right?
Right.
Because the parent. Well, I'm always there. I'm always checking on everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, for you saying you were that kind of parent, right? I mean, it's almost impossible to try to keep up with everything they're doing anyway,
you
right?
Can't track it all right. Every single day. The deviants are. Worse than they know which ways to trick our kids. So with my daughter, and it all does come out in the documentary, but it
you have a documentary shows, coming out.
Yes, we do. We have a documentary coming out on the story of everything that happened to my daughter, and we're using it as a tool to help educate parents as well as get our educational curriculum out there to the school districts that we're offering for free.
What's the name of it?
So right now we're toying with the thought it can't happen to me. I can't believe this happened to me.
Sure,
so we kind of put out feeders out there to determine. We're done filming for the most part. We're doing retakes, so it is coming out very shortly, and we're going to have a huge premiere in Central Florida.
Yeah.
So
so for you, what was it? Can you walk me through kind of the days leading up to when you realized that this had happened, if you don't mind, if it's not too much?
No, it is... I'm always shocked at which parts I get emotional about, you know.
Yeah,
and like I said, it's just recently that I felt in a good enough place to be able to speak to this with total strangers, you know.
Sure.
We didn't find out a lot of the information until after the fact but the morning of, woke up, and my daughter, I got her up for school. She was already up, so I didn't get her up. She was already getting ready. That in itself should have been a big alert because, you know, most kids in high school, you're trying to drag them out of bed. So I had just found out the night before some devastating news. And so I said to my daughter, I'm going to lie back down until I take your brother to school and come kiss me goodbye. So she comes in there, and I remember waking up and just looking at her. I'm like, oh, you look beautiful, sweetheart. She had her hair in pigtails. Now, this is my 15-year-old, just turned 16-year-old daughter, who normally rolls out of bed, throws some sweats on, her favorite t-shirt, and puts her hair in a bun. So for that, again, to me, should have been a red alert, but it wasn't. And so she leaves for the bus. I get up in the morning, get my son ready for school, and for some reason, I went into her bedroom. No reason. Every DEA, FBI agent, everyone has asked me, why did I go in her bedroom? I have no idea to this day. Went in there. There was nothing really askew. I see my favorite blanket on her bed. I pull the blanket off the bed. I'm thinking, this is my blanket, you know. Mm-hmm. And all her books, her school books are there.
Oh, fuck.
And that concerned me. I was like, oh, interesting. My child didn't have to ditch school. I'm the mom who's like, Mom, all of her friends are going to the beach. I'm on the honor roll. Can I go?
Yeah.
So that's why I was, whoa, what's going on? It coincided with that day was senior ditch day. in the county. So I guess that's a thing that people look the other way and seniors get to skip. So I call my daughter's father and I said, look, Michaela's books are in school. I'm calling the school and finding out if she's in attendance. And he's like, yes. So I called the school. The school goes, we're in an assembly. I don't know the attendance if she's in school. I'm like,
what?
Well, you better find out.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. And by this time, it's like 8 a.m. And, you know, high school started at like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. So you should have known my child's at school. Granted, I'm calling and speaking to a secretary. And I'm like, somebody better get back to me or I'm coming down there as soon as I take my son to school. So...
Because the last thing on your mind is this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the last thing. I mean, pigtails, maybe,
nothing.
You know yeah.
These are all in hindsight, right?
Yeah. Even books at home, they forget.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes they forget, and maybe it's an assembly day, right? So right. I don't need my books, you know?
Anything can happen. But in the pit of my stomach, I knew it was more than that. And I had a huge work day. I told you I had some... you know, devastating information delivered to us the night before. And I was not prepared to miss work to find this out. So mainly I was a little bit angry, but then that.
And you're also, you're dealing with a senior. So that's that time where you.
Well, she wasn't a senior.
Oh.
So she wasn't. She was only 16. So she was
junior,
a sophomore. Yeah, sophomore.
Either
but,
one.
But they're using
but
the
it's that time,
senior ditch day.
What
yeah.
is that time as a parent, though, where, right, you can't, you got to give them that little freedom?
Exactly.
To, you know, it's that balance of like, I can't, if I hawk you as a parent, I make it worse, right?
Absolutely.
So you're in that time where it's like, okay, they can handle themselves enough here. I mean,
right.
It's just a regular school day.
Correct. And I had a little boy, and if I wouldn't have found her books at that time and been proactive to call the school, I would not have known she was missing until 8 p.m. Because after school, my son had a basketball game. We would have gone there. I would have called my daughter's cell, but she's supposed to call me when she gets off the bus, but that doesn't always happen, right?
Right,
then we get busy, and all of a sudden another hour goes by, and I call her again, and in my mind, oh, she's taking a nap because they do get up very early. And now I'm like, I would not have known.
And no history with her. You're
nothing.
Talking honor roll.
No,
you know,
exactly.
No depression symptoms, nothing like
nothing.
That. So it's like, cool, of course.
Yes.
Dude, I remember when I grew up, man, it was the most I heard from my mom was a post-it note she left for me when I got home, you know?
Oh, yeah.
She's busting her ass, you
yeah,
know?
Those are the days.
Right
now
yeah.
we can. But where are you? And we're texting back and forth and such. But
yeah.
you know, it turned out that I then called the police and said my daughter's missing.
When did you find out?
Right. Well, the security officer or the school
resource officer.
Thank
yeah.
you. Called back and said, well, your daughter is not in school. And I'm like, was she in first period? They're like, no, she was not.
Never even showed up.
And so then I'm like. Okay, thank you. I said, was she on the bus? Well, we don't take attendance on the bus. I'm like, the bus driver knows my daughter. Call her.
Damn, they should.
They
thinking
don't,
about it.
I guess, yeah. They don't do that because there's so many, you know, so many
sure.
stops and things. But my daughter was the one who chatty and spoke to the bus
yeah.
driver, and she actually made her blueberry muffins at times kind of thing. So I knew the bus driver would know if my daughter wasn't on the bus.
Yeah.
That information didn't come for a while. So after that, I called her dad, and... He goes, well, you know, after school, you know, she's going to
have a
to
conversation.
Pay for that. Right. Correct. She's
yeah.
going to have a conversation. I said, no, Patrick, I feel it's more than that. And like the documentary tells it, there's a lot of details. And once the police came to the house.
So was it like afternoonish?
No, it's still morning.
Oh, so you're
I've
talking 10,
son,
11 o'clock.
No, not even. 9 a.m. kind
Thank
of thing.
God.
I dropped my son off. I raced back home. I called the police. Police are there, and they're like, I can tell he's not really taking it seriously because I'm like, my daughter doesn't have to ditch. So
right,
I'm
right.
thinking, he's thinking, okay,
they're like,
one
surely,
of those moms. Yeah,
surely,
you know?
Right, your daughter doesn't do anything.
Right,
you're
yeah,
perfect,
she's
right?
Good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but a few days before, my daughter had broken up with her boyfriend, and there was no drama. That should have been a red flag.
Hmm.
But I thought, wow,
maybe
she's growing
just,
up.
Oh,
yeah.
right.
She's
we
growing
were,
up.
She's
you know?
Matured.
She's maturing. And so, you know, all of a sudden that comes to my mind. And the police are like, well, we need to search her room. We go in her room. And how humiliating for a parent to go in your teenager's room with a police officer and realizing that that's one of the things that you, you've decided to just not fight with her on is cleaning her room.
You pick your battles.
Yeah,
at that
exactly.
Age.
Yeah. So that was a battle that I was not choosing to fight. But he goes in her room, and I'm seeing it through a police officer's eyes, and I'm like, well, the rest of the house is clean. I'm not, you know, I'm just forecasting that. But he looks around, and he keeps saying to me, well, do you know if any of her flip-flops or bathing suit's missing? I'm like, dude, look around. You look like I can tell if a
do you know where anything
flip-flop?
Is right now?
And I'm like, first of all, our kids nowadays have way more than one pair of flip-flops and bathing suits. And again, leaning towards senior ditch day. And he brought that up multiple times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure he knew.
At some point I said, I think my daughter could be suicidal.
Make him pay attention.
I don't know. I think that's why I did it. I think that all of a sudden I realized that no one's going to take this serious
until
after school. Yeah. And I, again, knew in my heart something was wrong. And I called her a dad again. And, you know, he was on his way over there. I called my best friend. And I'm realizing now how monumental this is. And at first, you're still thinking, she's going to come through that door and she is in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I'm busy at work. Her brother had an honor roll assembly or something I was supposed to go to. This is not cool. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, and then your worst fears, you know, come to fruition. And you realize your child's really gone. And that helicopters are buzzing your house. The dogs are sniffing. And when they're saying...
When did they consider it an actual missing persons?
I don't know exactly, other than the fact there's so many God moments that were in this as well, that things happened that shouldn't happen again going into her room. We were standing outside under the tree while they were searching my house and searching the attic. And when they were searching the attic is really when I realized they were thinking she was suicidal. And they asked me, you know, what empty house is, things like that. And we did everything we can. And we brought her back, but it wasn't an easy task.
Well, keep me through this.
I know it is such a long story.
We have time.
Yeah. Okay, so
yeah.
So
this isn't. We don't have like 30 minutes.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So with that, as we're standing under the tree at my house, and it's her father, myself, one of my best friends, and there's a detective and everything, and they're asking me all kinds of questions that I don't even remember. But again, I realize they're leading towards suicide. All of a sudden, I see out of the corner of my eye the mailman. I have lived in this house for 20 years. My mail has never come before 3 o'clock. Never. And there's the mail person. I guess my mailman was on vacation, and that was a substitute mail person, and they were doing the route backwards. When I see the mailman, I remember the weekend before my daughter had been at my mom's house, her grandma's. And she had said, Mom, I mailed you a letter, but you don't need to read it now. I was just venting. And I'm like, he goes in. I'm like, all right, you know, we're busy. I'm a single mom. I juggle a nonprofit. I juggle a business. I juggle 2 kids. So those things don't stay in your mind until I saw the mail truck. And the mail truck
especially
comes.
If she's telling you don't read it, I'm just...
Yeah, well, she said, oh, I was just venting. You know, you always said write it down and, you know, rip it up, you know, 24-hour rule.
Right? That's very good advice, yeah.
So I go to the mailbox, and in it is a letter that no parent should ever receive. And 3 pages of being all over the place, saying, Mommy, I need you in... you know, my brother to move. Please change the security code. We're not safe here. And then it goes in. It's very, like I said, for one portion, you think she is suicidal. And the next portion of her saying, we're not safe here.
Oh.
I had no choice. I love you. Please tell Daddy I love him.
Oh,
I love my family. And I dropped to my knees. And I'm, like, hysterical.
Oh, my God.
And because I'm not knowing what I'm reading. And that's when kind of the cloud came over me for details. And I realized, oh, my God, my daughter's gone. This isn't just I'm mad at you. You took off with a friend for spring break.
It's not Skip Day.
It's not. You're gone. And I don't know if I couldn't decipher really what was in the letter or what. But then, of course, the police take it. And as I recover crying, I'm like, they're not going to be able to find her. I just knew that if we were going to bring her home, it wasn't today, that it wasn't going to be because of law enforcement. They work so hard, but they are so busy. And I knew that we had to be proactive, but I didn't know how. So at that point.
Yeah, because there's no one's telling you what to do at this point. There's no handbook, no guidebook. There's no.
No.
I mean, your person's missing. You call the cops, right? That's what most people know.
Right.
Call their friends, go to places, right? You look for them in all the places you know. But the step beyond that,
absolutely. And so at that point, my daughter's father looks up. I look up and I see it. The house across the street has cameras on it. Now, I live in a short-term rental area, like I sell, so I don't have everyday neighbors. So I said, oh, my gosh, that house has a camera. And the police are like, well, call your neighbors. Let's go. Yeah, I don't even know who it is. It's through a management company.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even know that. At the same time, her dad says, the community has cameras.
Entrance and exit gates, yeah.
Exactly. The police go, we're on that. We're going to get subpoenas for that. It may take a couple days. I'm like,
couple days?
I'm like, what?
You better kick the door in and watch it.
Right. And I said, oh, no, that is not going to happen. We know the president of the HOA. She's known my daughter since she was a little girl. They will help. Another God thing, Adam. Her dad goes over there. She's home. This
HOA.
Is a woman who works full-time in Orlando and was homesick. Okay?
Yeah.
She's home, doesn't know how to work the camera system. Her husband happens to be in the area picking medicine up for her, comes home, works the camera system. I guess that's probably when we knew for sure, she 100% she was gone, because you see a car come to the house, you see her get in.
Did you, from the neighbor's camera, were you able to get that one?
No, not for quite a while, but
okay.
We couldn't, it didn't have useful.
Okay.
Yeah, things in it, our images in it. So with that while that's happening, myself, my godson, friends are sitting around the table. Well, first we're searching her room.
Yeah.
Clues. And again, I told you the overwhelming state of her teenage room. And by the grace of God, my godson finds a piece of paper with a whole bunch of things that could have been passwords. I'm jumping all around because this is how the day was.
Yeah, I got to imagine.
And there's no like, oh, this happened and this happened.
No, no.
At that point, backtrack. I called her phone.
Yeah.
And it was at the house.
Oh, shit.
Yes. And that was the catalyst for me.
Yep.
Realizing.
That is not getting forgotten.
That, yes. And.
Oh.
We also saw that she had posted a picture on Instagram after she had left the house.
Fuck.
Yes. So we knew she had some device.
Yeah.
And it's just the story of how we got her back.
Well, was the picture any clue to anything? Or
no, not in the beginning. You can, by the way, the things that you do learn when your child is missing. You don't just get to call and say, put an Amber Alert. My beautiful baby girl is in the hands of a stranger, and it's in a dark colored car. If you don't have the make, the model, and the license plate number, you cannot do an Amber Alert.
Hmm.
You don't realize that, right?
No, yeah, you think, yeah, it's something.
You think you're going to call, but yeah, what are you going to do? Say, hey,
we're
going to
stop every black car with a girl in it and a guy?
Exactly, and which direction are they going, where? And
that's gonna be devastating to watch that film. If you see her in the car and it drives by, or see her get in it or whatnot, and out the gate.
And we knew from the dog, the canines, that her scent ended at the end of the driveway.
Oh fuck!
And so they were still leaning towards she must have got on the bus.
Okay.
And we're like, no, they're saying she didn't get on the bus, kind of thing, because the bus came right there. But it just spiraled into. Unbelievable amount of information needed to be processed in the shortest amount of time. The police were so diligent in asking so many questions and getting so many divisions there. And back then, I think it was DEA that handled sex trafficking. But they don't know that anything has occurred other than a runaway.
Yeah.
Okay, lots of teenage girls
mix it with the letter that they got in.
And they're not quite sure what's going on. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I just know my daughter would never have left her house without her phone.
Yeah.
And that is a for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
At this point.
So this is all still in the 24-hour period. This is all still that morning, afternoon.
This is still the morning, yes.
Oh, shit.
Late morning. It's amazing how many good friends came around that table to truly try to help. But again, like you said, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And all I knew was that how can I get to the masses? My hands aren't tied through bureaucracy like police are having to get subpoenas and warrants and things. Because the next question was, are her friends in school? Well, we're going to call and see, and we're going to get the legal information needed to get that information. I'm like, oh, no, I have teacher friends. They will know.
Yeah.
Start texting everybody to find out were her friends in school.
Yeah.
Find out they are in school.
Shit.
That in itself.
That's getting worse.
Yes.
Phones at home. Friends are actually at school.
Yes. And.
Oh.
Her computer's at home. Her phone's at home. How did she post that picture?
Right. That's got to come from somebody else's phone.
It does. And it just. Greenham Project, the nonprofit that I'm with, is trying to educate parents through this horrific tragedy that has happened to my family, but also to show it's not the demographics that you think. Her father was so up on internet safety. It was so annoying. Every time she wanted a new app or to go on something, I had to put a code in. But the second your child walks out that door, that's all gone.
Yeah.
They have access to their friends.
Well, home. Leave your phone at home. No location services. I can't track them on an app anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. It's.
But for this pervert to get to my daughter, all it took is for her to be with her friends and then be on her friend's iPad at someone else's Wi-Fi. All the security you had on your phone.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can hear some parents now. That's why I don't give my kid an iPhone, whatever. I'm like, all of their friends have one.
They all have one. They're going to use it.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
So we have to educate them on certain apps to truly avoid.
Yeah.
And again, I wasn't a lackadaisical mom on that, but what I do feel that I did, I hammered home too hard to my daughter of don't. Anybody good never wants to see a picture of you naked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? Nobody is going to ask for your help who's an adult. No adult needs your help, sweetheart.
Yeah, yeah, not happening.
What I didn't say is if you do that, I love you, and let me help you.
Yeah.
It's just like when we used to teach abstinence in school and wait till marriage
good luck.
Sex.
Yeah, good luck.
But here's some condoms.
Right, right.
So it's like this is what the tough topics are.
Yeah.
What do we say? It's like don't send these pictures to yourself. But if you do, are we given permission? We're not. But kids make mistakes.
Yeah, we all do.
My daughter thought a 17-year-old quarterback for a high school loved her. And that's what she thought. She didn't know on the other end of that screen was a convicted child rapist who had served 5 years in jail for raping a child in Orange County and was out on parole.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Wait, a convicted child rapist?
Child rapist. He had served. He only did 5 years and he had raped three other girls.
Yeah, that's murder in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't get 5 years for that.
Right. So.
You rape one. That's take him out back and fucking shoot him.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. That's
castrate him.
Yeah.
They're not curable.
Unfortunately, that's true.
It's not. And it's proven.
Yeah.
It's proven. So, you know, legal castration at the very
least.
At the very least.
For me, no, dude. Yeah, I'm taking him out back. I'm old school.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Forget your subpoenas and your shit. If you're convicted once, maybe I castrate you twice. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's game over.
I know. And at
Holy
the time
shit.
When he had already, he's out on parole for the one, serving 5 years, Out on Good Behavior.
Keep the mic to you.
Out on Good Behavior. He had raped three others.
What the fuck?
Yes, he had raped three others, but the judicial system takes so long to get from victim to trial that those parents did not want to put their children through that when they were like 9, 10 years old it occurred, and now they're 14 and 15 and doing well.
I didn't want to put them back through some trial of remembering it.
Right. Because victims, we pretty much have no rights, and I've learned that the hard way. But if they would have, he wouldn't have gotten out.
Oh.
And while he was out, not only did he sell my daughter into sex trafficking, he raped another 12-year-old daughter in Orange County.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So how do you
he's
go?
He's a predator.
Yeah. This is this. How do you go about finding her? Mm-hmm. So we're still on that first afternoon, morning-ish of running frantic around.
Right. I'm really. There's so many details, Adam, and I really want everybody to understand that the motivation behind making the documentary, not only has it taken this long emotionally for me to feel strong enough, for our family to feel strong enough, is that it is to educate parents. Once you see this documentary, there's so many questions of things that I thought I was doing right. In a moment of stress, you don't remember your kids' friends' last names. You don't remember how you put it in your contacts in your phone, your child's friends' parents. I have it in her phone, Michaela's friend Alex's mom.
Yeah.
I don't know her name, you know, and you're trying to get information that it's not obtainable, but you can't think. And all the police want me to do at that time, chill out, maybe sit on the couch. We've got this.
Yeah, good fucking luck.
Yeah, and it's like I don't want to degrade the police because they were incredible.
Sure, sure.
They treated my family with the utmost respect.
What were they going to tell you? Yeah. Run around and go crazy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what I was not able to do as a mom, the only control I have, and everyone who knows me knows I'm a little bit of a control freak when it comes to getting things done, is that there was power in the internet. So we put out all information to try to get information. Started messaging her friends. They weren't replying to texts because I didn't have some of their numbers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you have their best friend numbers. And how many times has your child said, hey, Mom, I'm going to Jimmy's party with Selena and so-and-so-and-so and Justin.
Yeah.
And as a parent, you say, well, is the adult going to be there? Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
of course.
But where is it? Well, Mom, she lives right around the corner in our neighborhood. All right, right. You drop her off.
You met her at the birthday last year.
You did. Don't you remember her, Mom?
Sure.
Do you put in your phone your child's friend's address? I didn't.
Yeah.
So there's so much information that it would have saved hours if I would have done that due diligence in the beginning. But I didn't know.
But we all typically have a trust for our kid. You know, you're kind of like, okay, they got that. They'll be fine. You know, we've educated the best we can, the best we know how, right?
Right.
And when you give a little bit of that freedom, right? And so, I mean, it sounds like the predators on the end of this kind of know how to play all that. The fact that this guy, this monster was posing as a high school quarterback.
Right. Well, not only posing as a high school quarterback, also knew on this Kicks app, it's K-I-K. There's no reason for any minor to be on that app, okay? The way they speak on the app, it's more like a privacy thing. So instead of your face being next to your name, Adam, and my face being next to my name, Stacy, it shows like emojis and stuff. So it's very hard to follow when you're trying to find information. So these predators know once they engage them on that to get them off that app, because if your parent is due diligent and you're looking at the app, right?
Yeah.
To get them to text.
Yeah.
So once they text, they also know to get them off of their own phone. This man Amazoned to my house a phone for my daughter.
Holy shit.
Yes. They wait until your child has done something that they can hold over them. Okay?
solicit the pictures first.
Maybe not just the pictures. Talking crap about their friends.
Yeah, that's
anything
small
that they can use to say I'm putting on social media.
Yeah.
Anything. And it was pictures in my daughter's case.
Yeah.
And with that, they had her. Because the fear, first they go after, I'm going to tell your parents. What are your parents going to think if they see this picture of you? Then they, and if you don't send me another picture, they use these pictures in two things. Either they are the sex trafficker who's actually trying to get them away to do acts, sex acts.
Mm-hmm.
By doing these sex acts, they go home and they're determining the value of the child. They're determining how easy is it going to be to get this kid hooked on drugs.
Yep.
To get this kid away from its parents.
Yep.
And that's where they see, okay, they degrade the child enough. They get the kid hooked enough on drugs that they start acting out at home. And now it's a juvenile delinquent.
Oh, my God,
and then
God,
the police
yeah
think she ran away.
Sure.
Because her grades start falling. They like them to stay at home for a little. There's multiple different, you know, they go after runaways, of course, but the kids who are in your home. And they get, you'd freak out if you find out what they do to boys, to get the boys to pose as to get these girls in.
Yeah. Oh, so they're actually using younger boys
mm-hmm
to, as stills in the front, to bring those girls in?
Yes.
Holy mm-hmm shit.
Yes. And what they do to the boys is they get a girl, a hot girl, to say, oh, Joey, we should go to this party. My cousin's got this cool party over there. Can you get out of the house on Friday? That kind of thing. They go there. They drug him, whether through a drink or willingly. You know, it's all circumcised. You know, you
sure,
don't really
sure
know which. Yeah. Each child, it's different. Then they perform sex acts on him while he's drugged and film them. And there's nothing scarier to a heterosexual boy than to be deemed as homosexual.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is not an anti-gay
No, it's
thing.
Just that's
it's
the
that's what they use.
So they get the ammo on the kid.
Pictures of him and say, you want these on social media? Call him all kinds of derogatory names.
Yeah.
If not, I need you. This, and this. I need three girls. Bring them to my party on Friday night. And then you're done. Kind of thing. And then three more, right?
Oh.
There's nothing scarier to our kids than
exposure.
Their peers or anyone on social media to think they're anything
yeah other than the
other
greatest
than normal.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know?
So exposure of things you're saying,
mm-hmm,
yourself. And,
absolutely.
Oh, so they're using, my God. I mean,
this is kids who go home to parents who are not lackadaisical parents who aren't in the know.
Yeah.
That maybe all maybe not even from a divorced family.
Well, like you can be a great parent, but with teenagers are teenagers.
Correct.
Much less you take a 15, 16, 17-year-old boy
mm-hmm
and you give him what looks like to be an 18-year-old, you know, college
hottie
girl. Yeah.
For him, right?
Yeah, saying to come here. Yeah, they show that's an easy trap.
Exactly.
You walk them right into that. Man, almost the information that the teenage boys need to know about if this is happening. You could walk right into a trap, and now you're the one being a still representing the front, having to do these things
mm-hmm
for you. Like the
and
fuck.
Then it's just like it, so. Then when that boy gets them, even if now let's say they're like, I don't care if they go online.
Yeah.
What they do, they start saying is like, hey, you've now committed a crime.
Holy shit! Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you've
now
committed a crime. You've
yeah
done this to
now
these
you're,
poor girls.
Holy
hey
shit.
We didn't make you do it, you did it.
Yeah, now you're a conspirator to it.
Exactly. So education is key at a young age. It is almost impossible to educate a 15-year-old from a parent educating
or period
them. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, you know, they don't listen to us.
Yeah.
And with
but I
Instagram
can't imagine
TikTok,
yeah, there's
they're
your
all
new
over
one
there.
Yeah.
Things that you don't realize as a parent. All parents at home, click on your child's calculator, push C plus 100. If it's still a calculator, you're good. If not, that is a new calculator app that you can add on your phone, and it takes you to the black Dark web. Dark web. Thank you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Dark web.
Yeah, there's C plus. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of that.
So how would you know? Yeah. Even if you are looking at your child's phone all the time.
Oh my God.
You don't know.
Yeah, that's important to know.
That's if it's on their phone. Once they actually have been contacted, they're mailing your child a burner phone.
Oh my God, yeah. So you can grab all the phone you want to. And yeah. If you're a working parent, Amazon's dropping it at 2 o'clock.
Well, that's my daughter was the first one home, right?
Yeah, of course. They always are. They're at school at 7. They're home by 2, 3, unless it's, you know, after school activities. If not, they're home before everybody.
Absolutely. And the documentary lays out us getting her back.
Yeah, can you walk me through? Because how many
days? I can
days?
Walk a little bit. She was only gone. We found her within 24 hours. Whew. We brought her back. We found her in another state.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Within 24 hours, already out of Orlando?
Out of
where
Orlando.
Where to?
Oh, sweetheart. Within 6 hours, they were in Atlanta or 8 hours or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. So we had no phone of her to ping, nothing. So it was dire for us to find information. My godson found his passwords, and we just started going in the computer, reaching out there, going through everything. So I'm on Facebook messaging, getting information. I didn't want to put it out a missing poster. I just wanted to message people I knew saying, Michaela's gone. I don't know, you know.
You don't know yet,
What's going on? My good friend said, Stacy, we have to put a missing poster out. And I was really concerned with her privacy. Actually kind of thinking, oh, she's going to be so mad at me. Because I'm still that one naive part
you're
of me
hoping.
Wanted.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're hoping.
Just being a brat.
Yeah.
And she just ditched, and I'm going through all of this.
Yeah.
And I've read things into it, and she actually forgot her phone and was on, you know, I just.
But that's a hope. You're
yeah,
hoping
you're
that.
Hoping.
Yeah, yeah.
And all these resources you think you have, you do not have squat. You know, until there's something other than your child's a runaway. No news media. Nobody wants, you know, oh, God, yeah, this is the mom thinks her kid's above and beyond, and she would never run away, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, much less if some of them have, like you said, walked them through criminal activities, right, got them hooked on certain drugs.
Their
and
grades start falling. Their dispositions change where they become ornery because they're secretive.
It's like they know the question the cop's going to ask. The cop's going to get there. How's she been? Well, she's been missing school. Mm-hmm. Her grades are done. Okay, so, I mean, they already know.
They know because this is their job. Yeah. This is what they get off on the grooming process as much as they do as the act.
So you're putting out a missing post on Facebook. You're messaging friends. You found passwords to log into, I'm guessing,
her computer, the phone, things like, and nothing's looking askew. And there was one app, and it was Kix.
The Kix app.
Mm-hmm. Pull it up. Have no idea what you're looking at. It's not like Facebook, again, like you know who you're talking to.
Well, it's like
to,
learning a new software, yeah.
Yeah, and so we're looking at this and realizing at this point there's no way. If I can't decipher what's going on, there's no way the police can because they don't know my daughter. They don't know that her good friend, whose real name is Cora, actually goes by the name of Alex. So, you know, they don't know these things. So when and you don't know because there's a unicorn as an icon for her face. You reading so many pages.
And they have their own messages, too, of what that means.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, this must be communicating with such and such. Because, something triggered in there. They don't know. The police don't know that my daughter's horse's name is Ivory. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for, this is Michaela. I get the icon. I match that one.
You have
one
to
up.
Match
it's
the
like,
fact she goes by
goes
Ivory.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then all we're reading, you have no idea the overwhelming amount of conversations teenagers have. Think I should paint my nails purple? Oh, what did you think of Jimmy today? Do you think he liked me? I mean, thousands of,
useless.
Who can go through that? So we all sat at the table and we divided and conquered. And we went through all of those, reading it back and forth until we found something that seemed like substance. Like she was communicating with someone that she didn't know, and there was information in that. And in that was the man who bought her was saying how much she would love it there. because there was a quarter horse, and I don't think that's the name of the horses, that they, the breed of the horses, but it was some one-off horse that we were able to track that. There's a, you can look out my backyard and see a quarter horse farm, and my daughter loved Build-A-Bear. Yes, I know she was 16 and loved Build-A-Bear, but she didn't. And he's like, and only about 30 minutes away is the mall, and we have a Build-A-Bear. So we're going off these facts. Are these facts?
So you found finally communication within the Kix app.
And oh, but and then a phone number. The give the police phone number. It dings in Atlanta, and it's and the, I when I called it, which I almost passed out. I called it, and it's like, hey guys, this is Kayla. I'm like.
That was so the number that was in that message phone was the Amazon phone.
No, I got that backwards. So that what that came before.
Okay.
This but okay. We on the piece of paper was phone number.
Yeah.
Called it. It was her voice.
Yeah.
Gave it to the police. Hours later they ding it in Atlanta, and now I'm holy mackerel.
Yeah.
FBI gets involved. Cross state lines.
Yep.
My daughter's missing, but she's still a runaway at this point. So fast forward through many, many facts that we found and were able to use was that the man who purchased her was a manager at Dairy King. And he had just gotten a divorce.
At Dairy Queen.
Oh, Dairy Queen. No, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Dairy Queen. And he had gotten a divorce. We find later on through all this, the transcripts and things, another phone number. He's like, hey, let's text on this number. Let's take this off Kix.
Yeah.
Call that number. It pings in the same place.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Got him.
And
yeah.
So at this point, my daughter's phone was off. So I don't know if he had known she had a phone and it was ditched, but we're no longer able to ping her.
So the number you called.
Number we called.
Yeah.
And then, so then, it's, we're going, the pictures come from the video, and they can't do an Amber Alert again, because we don't know the make and model, so it was imperative that we find out the make and model of the car.
Yeah.
And we did that by texting friends in auto industry, saying, can I send you a picture? Can you help me determine what car this
no
is?
No kidding.
Yeah. From the picture, you could tell there was a front license and a back license plate.
So you know
that's
out of state.
Praying. Well, no, we were praying it wasn't a vanity plate in the front.
Yeah.
It looked like, but again, it was very blurry, not great quality cameras. Don't know the make. Could only see two number, a letter and a number on the license plate. And without the make, you can't search to try to find license plates with that number. It's things you don't think about. By the way, all of my knowledge pretty much comes from Law and Order or Dateline.
Yeah, well, it's everybody's pretty much. Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, you know,
zoom
the
in on the
detective on this is going to do this, and come on, click this. Do you see her head? You know, what?
Yeah. Zoom in closer. Zoom in closer. There it is. That's a fiber from
exactly.
A place in Atlanta that only makes these certain textiles
and
that we
got
can.
Got her. She's there. That's
yeah,
not
yeah.
How it works.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually called the CSI effect.
Yeah, exactly. We yeah. All think that's going to happen.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called the CSI effect. It happens to jurors when they're on trial jurors.
Right.
Or when they're on there, they ask questions like that. They go, why don't you just get the DNA sample, run right. It through the thing. It's actually a real thing, the CSI
yeah.
Effect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew in my heart of hearts that she wasn't coming home if we didn't keep this up.
Yeah.
And I'm almost in a over caffeinated buzzed stage. Like I couldn't admit in my mind this. It was almost like I took away the mom aspect. I took away the only way I could survive to keep doing this
yeah.
Was to pound Red Bulls.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I was pretending it was somebody else. But I certainly was very clear-headed in what had to occur.
Yeah.
Because if not, I was going to lose it. And I was going to be on a fetal position on my bed.
Yeah, but
and
now's not the time.
That's not going to bring her.
Yeah,
home.
You got to stay focused. If you want, you can turn the microphone right here.
Is this?
Yeah,
does that work?
You see the MXL right there? Make sure that's looking right at you.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
So I speak with my hands also, so push it.
That's all right. That's all right.
Yes. So.
So you go a couple days, or not a couple days, you're all sitting at the table going through all these messages.
Yes.
And then you find a link, and now you're able to ping to
him.
Right.
And we start, when we then find it, probably on page 9,000, for all I know, we then go back and realize it was the same guy who constantly changed his icon, by the way, that talked about the Quarter Horse Farm and the Build-A-Bear. So I start Googling states that have two license, front and back license plate, because Florida isn't one of them.
Right.
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 California's one, you know, different places, praying it's on this coast. Realizing when the police came back and said it was Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
that she's not going to the airport. Like,
it's not an airport. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, they're driving. They truly are driving.
I can imagine.
And as a parent, you have no idea what this feels like. It's true. Do you have kids, Adam?
I have an adopted daughter.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. So when they're little,
20.
Okay, awesome. When they're little, and you're at Dillard, you're at a store, and you turn your back for a second, and they're playing in and out of the clothes, and you're like,
well, I was that dad when she was in 6th and 7th grade.
Right.
No, I was. I was right. That dad where she's like, I'm going to Mackle Park or Marco Island. I would go, okay. And I would go, and she wouldn't see me, and I'd be in the cut watching.
Right,
like, she went
right.
to her first football game in 9th grade alone.
Right.
I went too.
No.
She didn't see me, but
right.
I saw her.
I was
that guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was, yeah.
Oh, believe me.
Yeah.
I'm that mom. And
but there was those times, man, when she was 15, 16, you know, where it was like, all right, call me when you get there.
Right.
You know, call me when you get off.
And who's
you know?
There?
Yeah, when you leave, yeah, send me the message, you know, send me the address, whatever. There's times, and they're like, fine. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or another half is like, she'll be fine. You know?
Exactly.
Stop being that guy.
Right.
You know? But this is fucking crazy to hear, man.
This is
nuts.
And
there's so many people commenting about the nightmares that this is.
And, you know, it's like I want parents to remember that one fear that they had when they're 3-year-old, they're at the department store, and their 3-year-old plays in the clothes, and they can't find them for that 5/10 of a second, and that feeling of, oh my God, where's my child?
Yeah,
that's
I can't
the feeling
imagine.
In the pit of all the time.
I can't imagine.
Right.
She went to a different after party from homecoming.
Oh,
and didn't tell me.
Oh, right.
I freaked out.
Oh, I know.
I'm in the car driving to all the friends' houses I could remember.
Right.
You know?
That
and
you could remember,
yeah.
right?
And it
and
was
you don't
a different
have their
house.
Addresses.
Yeah.
You're just
I freaked the fuck out.
Yes.
I did.
Exactly.
I lost my shit.
Yeah.
And eventually, I mean, not answering her phone, right? Nothing, but I can't imagine the length of time the phone at the house, you know, it's pinging on in a different state right now. I mean, I holy shit.
In the information we didn't have then, and we had later on.
Yeah,
even makes it scary. You know the things I shared with you before about who it was, who sold her, and this and
yeah.
It. But it is the internet created this. So
yeah,
but it also brought my daughter home.
Right, right.
Because
right.
I was able to reach the masses.
So how did this end up happening? Would they catch him in Atlanta? They're not pinging her phone anymore.
They don't catch him in Atlanta. Oh, his phone pings to Atlanta. They don't catch him in Atlanta. This time the police run in. Who's so-and-so? It was my friend's name. And my friend who was there, she had put the missing, be on the lookout, yeah, missing person picture out there. And I guess that was getting a lot of false leads sent in and a lot of fake calls. And he's like, take that down. Quit communicating. I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't
and
make
And then
me.
He says the worst. He says, if he knows we are on to him,
he could.
We don't know what he will do. He could kill her and dump her.
Yeah. Makes sense. That makes sense.
What do you do then?
Yeah.
The only source of information we're getting is in the internet. So at that point, we decided not to share any new information. But you're praying you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're praying that you're still reaching out.
I can imagine.
Because you're begging for help. Help me.
Yeah, I can imagine 100 parents would be like, oh, post it, make videos, it'll go viral, send it everywhere. Yeah. And then you do that and
the worst happens.
Yeah, right. This is evidence. I'm busted here.
I gotta do something.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Correct. So, because I think we had posted the picture of the vehicle. The image and said, please help us if anyone recognizes what type of vehicle. We did take that post down.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, obviously, they realize it's more than runaway. No, they don't realize that. We find on her computer a sex contract. Yes.
What?
She was required to sign a sex contract laying out all the things that would happen to her family if she did not go with him. Because remember, one guy sold her.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Lucius sold her, and John Rush bought her and took her. And if she did not appear at the end of the driveway at 6:30 a.m., whatever it is, then these things would happen to your family. They had sent on a burner phone. By the way, this is how we were able to track back Fred Lucius, who sold her. A boy went to her school with a brown paper bag. Said, my sister, I don't know what he said, forgot her lunch. You're required to sign in with your driver's license. That goes there. In that was another phone. In that phone was a video of a little boy being raped and a mom being gang raped by a bunch of men. And this is what will happen to your brother, and this is what will happen to your mom if you do not leave that day.
Fucking sadistic motherfuckers.
So obviously they were losing the control of the pictures weren't working.
Yeah.
We find out later on that my son had been in the hospital, and her father had brought her to visit us, and she just would not leave. I'm not going. I'm going to spend the night. Well, I'm like, Flynn's in, my son's in ICU. And, you just need to go with your dad.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out he was downstairs.
Holy shit.
He had arranged to take her, Fred Luce, and then get her to him. And she refused to go downstairs.
Holy shit.
And her fear was that.
So she's fighting all the way. She's like, I don't care about the fucking pictures, whatever. Yeah. She's not going. She's fighting. But then she writes you the letter from her grandma's house.
Because she's now realizing, because they had sent
now
her
Now I'm
going to
hurt your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, we got to move. We got to get out of here, that kind of thing. Oh, man.
And then sent.
So it's not like you would think, some parent or somebody that doesn't know would think they would just quit by then.
Right.
They tried to take her at the hospital, didn't come. The pictures aren't working. She's not full. But they kept. Then they're dropping off burner phones at the school.
Right.
With child rape and gang rape on a thing. Like, they didn't just go try to reach out from a white van once or twice.
Right, exactly.
Like, this is holy shit.
Right. So obviously.
And a full-on sex contract. So they're sending her sex contracts, the threats, the videos of the threats. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is a 16-year-old girl whose love of her life is her puppy and her horse. She may leave her mom, who's nagging at her to clean her room and stuff. I knew damn well she was not going to leave her horse and her dog.
Yeah.
She'd just gotten the puppy.
Yeah, come on. Horse, dog, and phone.
Yeah, come on.
Those three and friends. Horse, dog, phone, friends. They're not leaving that.
Exactly. And, I mean, no matter what.
Oh, my God.
I thought I had escaped the bad teenage years.
Yeah.
Because she was so awesome.
Yeah.
And the only reason her brother exists is because she was the perfect baby.
So we'll try again. We'll try again. Yeah, yeah.
So, people say, well, didn't you see signs before? Yes, I did. And I knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
And. Because he started grooming her in August. And this was May.
Holy shit. Man. Mm-hmm.
So.
All the way. I mean, what's that, 9 months?
Yes. Right?
Oh, my God. 9 months of. Well, you're talking, what, $300,000, right? You're talking big money for these motherfuckers, man.
Exactly.
So 9 months of grooming.
Mm-hmm.
Man, most people, when they hear about sex trafficking, they're thinking snatched them one night from a hotel.
They think it's spontaneous.
Yeah.
Like, their kid just went to the mall. They're going to. No, this is planned.
Holy shit.
It doesn't all happen this way. It doesn't all happen.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I live in a nice suburban community.
Gated?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Her father lives in an incredible community, and she couldn't feel secure anywhere.
Smart,
he sent
honor
pictures.
Roll student, yeah. Great neighborhood, good, caring, loving, overseeing parents. I mean, yeah. All of the things. Yeah. And 9 months.
Right. And then, like, they had sent her also, like, we know where you live, an aerial view of our house.
Holy
I could tell it was, like, an older Google Earth. I may have that wrong, but yet one of those things. Because I could tell, I changed that plant. That's not so. But she looked at it and saw our house.
Yeah.
She looked at it saw the outside of my son's
16.
School.
And
right.
I'm sure she's seen enough movies where, like, this stuff happens in a movie, you know, where they're threatening all that stuff.
Exactly. And
so you find the sex contract. I keep taking you
find
off.
The sex contract. And holy shit. You can't even imagine what's in it. And so at that point, I don't even know at that point. Again, I'm all over the place because that's what it was like.
Yeah.
And what we'd find this information. And that would be a dead lead. And, like, I thought one of her friends was gone, too, for a while. And then turned out the friend was there, just had ditched or something like that. And just all this information coming in. And then my phone is on fire. People saying, what can we do to help? What can we do? And I'm trying to reply to people who I thought could help.
Yeah.
You know, everyone says, and everyone has a kind heart when it comes to this. There were missing posters posted by people I barely knew all the way up 75, all the way up I-4 at all the stops. The Moms Club I used to be president of way back in the day when my daughter was a baby. I've made great friends there, and they all took it upon themselves. I didn't even know this was happening. I had no idea.
Yeah.
We're just focused on whatever information. I just, again, felt we were close to knowing something. And again, going back to the front and back license plate, not knowing the make of the car, so sending that picture out to all the car dealerships and asking, please, will you look? Who could I text this to? Because you can't just send it. You got to get, you know. And it started with a friend's boyfriend who worked at a dealership. And we sent it to him. And he goes, I don't know, but send it to my buddy here at this dealership. Send it to that. And finally, somebody either replied, hey, those are LED lights. I can tell by the glow in the picture. By the way, the picture's grainy as can be. Glow in that. So that could only be between this year and this year.
Mm.
So then Googling, narrowing it down. We're assuming it's a black car because it's dark, you know. And that helped us. Well, what companies make LED lights, you know? And my godson and his father were really up on cars and kind of, you know, knew a little bit of things like about that. And they're working on that at the table. My good friend's cleaning the house because that's what she does. You know, that's what she does in stress. My mom made it all the way up from Naples, which normally three and a half hours in a little over 2 hours.
Mm.
So you have this unbelievable amount of support. Police, the FBI, the DEA is there. None of it matters. You realize no amount of money, no amount of connections is going to bring your child home. And you don't know what to do. So you do the only thing you can do. And that's keep searching. We kept going back into her bedroom looking for things that seemed out of place and not items that seemed out of place, but books. And it is such a godsend that my godson found these passwords in this book.
You'd have never found the
kids. We would have never got into the computer. I am a mom who needs to know their kid's code to get in their phone, needs to know the kid's computer. I am also a mom who, first sign of disrespect, first sign of grades failing, you've done something, those are the items I take away. How many times have you gone to your 20-year-old daughter and let me see your phone?
Yeah,
but
constantly.
She's opened it before she gives it to you, Adam, right?
Yep. Yeah, here it is.
So even though you know the code?
Yeah.
Did you check?
Yeah, I was A lot of times I would take it, I'd wait till she went to sleep, right. Then I'd go
so
find it.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I do that with my son's phone.
Yeah.
But then it was like, all right, I need to know your code. We're going to set the code together when you get the phone. You can't change your password without...
But there's so many apps, like you're saying, that...
To go around it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's another thing a parent can do. Stop what you're doing. Grab your kid's phone. Put the code you know in it. If it doesn't unlock your phone, they've changed the code. Why did they change the code? Hopefully it's innocent.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know? But those are the things you don't think about. Yeah. And this is what Green Hand Project is trying to educate. The little things you can do, you know, keep you up to date on the apps. Keep you up to date on education of what is happening in your surrounding areas. How are they getting the kids?
Yeah, I wouldn't in my right mind guess this.
Exactly,
I
right?
No, you'd have given me 10 guesses. I would have been like, well, for 9 months, they groomed her. They posed as this person. Mm-hmm. This person was actually just selling her to this person. They they threatened family. They threatened to hurt the family. Mm-hmm. They threatened all kinds of things. They, like, I just couldn't. In my mind, when I first thought about it, I'm thinking, like, it's a drive-by snatching. You know, they're just trying to, like, reach out and get them. Or they're alone walking between here and school, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when you get them. That's what you hear, you know.
That's what you hear. And there are cases like that.
Yeah,
we don't know the statistics of how many happen to this extent, like my daughter's.
Sure.
Okay? 5 years ago, maybe that was the old school way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But what I do know is that when they set their eyes on a girl, they do look for girls who have lower self-esteem. But how do you find that out? By their posts.
Yeah, you look at a Facebook post that's saying
you
what
start
I'm going
looking
through.
Looking at their posts, and it's like, well, so and so hates me. All my friends hate me. You know, it's
swoop in and be the boyfriend, the quarterback boyfriend.
Exactly,
make you feel good.
That I can't believe he likes me.
Fuck. All right, so you're finding all the information out.
Finding all the information.
We're wrapping up day one.
Wrapping up, we are. I had given the plea. I agree to take every post down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was going to call the media through a friend.
Okay. Yeah. Seems.
This is way earlier on, by the way.
Yeah.
But the police said, give us time. Originally, I gave until 4 o'clock. After that, I'm calling the media. By the way, I was not kind to them. And they were only doing their job. All I could see in my mind is them standing out there drinking coffee. There's 1,000 things going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. To you, every officer on deck should be driving everywhere.
The whole world should be looking for my daughter because I know, you know.
Right. But in truth, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. But so I did agree to give him till 4 o'clock to go on for media, to not call the media. I did have friends calling me. We know so-and-so from Fox News. We know so-and-so. And I said, do not call anybody. I'm giving the police this time. Again, I was scared when that thought was, if he knows, what will he do?
Sure, that.
And she's out of state.
So many people would not have thought of that. They'd have been like, yeah, you better call me to post it everywhere. And then I'm glad that cop said that, though, because
it made sense. And he was harsh when he said it. And he pretty much said, you will be the reason your daughter's killed. Mm. He didn't say those words, but that was what he said. And then the fear of what do? What do I not do? So we did. In my mind, I could keep control until the sun went down. That's was some reason my hard line. Like, I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah.
If I don't.
Yeah, and I've seen enough of the cop
the
24-hour
hour window, the 12-hour window.
Yeah,
what's going through
the
my
first
mind.
48, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, and every day, every minute, I'm thinking about all the horrific stories. Adam Walsh, for some reason, pops in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? All these other stories.
Natalie, who was here local.
Exactly. And this cannot be happening.
Yeah.
And it's so busy in my house. There's friends cooking just to help because nobody knows what to do, you know. Other one, I'm taking this flyer and I'm going to print it at Staples. Okay, just don't, whatever. Do whatever you have to do. And my mom, constantly, you know, oh, did you think about calling this person? Did you? Oh, thanks. You're thankful, but you're also like,
yeah, no shit, motherfucker. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Do you not think I'm doing everything I can here? Like, that was like what I wanted to say. And but everybody's feeling the, oh my God, this is real.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, and I'm vague on how, of remembering how we figure out the car. Somebody comes back from a car dealership and says, LED lights, it's this make and mod. So they would tell us a make, and then we would Google it, the yeah. lights, because you could see clearly straight the back lights to see if they lined up.
Yeah.
Someone said, well, it's not a Corolla. It's not a whatever. I, to this day, don't remember. I can read it a million times, but I have like a mental block of what kind of car it was. But all I know is they said, I'm going to say it's a Honda. It's a Honda Accord. Honda Accord with LED lights was only made between 2010, 2000, whatever. So that narrows it down drastically. Mm. We confirm on the internet with the lights. And then we realize it can't be black because during X amount of years, it was only made in Gabin gray or some dark gray color.
Yeah.
So because we had been putting black this and nothing like that.
Nothing's matching.
So we feel we figured out the make and model of the car. We give that to.
And you all do this, yeah, not the cops.
Right.
What the
right?
fuck?
Well, but what do you have to go on? You got one number and one letter.
Yeah.
And a dark, blurry car at 5 or 6 in the morning.
That's amazing that you all are the ones doing the make and model search, find the car, figure it out. I'm like, aren't you a detective, motherfucker?
No, right.
Like, exactly. What are you detecting right now?
But, and then I guess the guys, because he turned off his phone, John Rush, who took her, turned off his phone, they couldn't ping it to pull the information from it. By the way, it's no longer, like you said in TV, CSI effect. It's not like that.
Yeah, it takes
quick.
A minute.
It takes a long time. He turned his phone back on.
Fuck yeah.
And so they then pinged him outside of Kentucky.
Holy shit.
And now I'm like,
he made an abrupt left now, so he's kind of going up and a little left now.
I'm like geographically challenged.
Yeah.
So I'm like, where is Kentucky again? Is it in the boot? Is yeah. it, you know, I'm like trying to think where it is. I'm like, I remember at that point learning that. I got to call them. Oh, my God. I got to call the media. I can't wait anymore. I just, she's getting further away.
Yeah.
In a car. And
headed to the Kentucky, which is mountains, woods. You're talking.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? And at that point, also because of the front and back, we realized where that the trajectory of where they could be going, because there was only certain states that had front and
dual
back,
plates.
Right?
Yeah.
Again, we're praying it wasn't a vanity plate on the front. Googled that. With Quarter Horse Farm, X amount of miles from Build-A-Bear. And it wasn't Quarter Horse, but some weird horse. So praying that's real information, not just BS to, you know. And we find different areas and feed that information to the police. Say, okay, the only Build-A-Bear within 30 minutes, or we could say, you know, 15 miles, 30 minutes, or 50, the only Build-A-Bear up there. Like, there's not many Build-A-Bears up there like there are in Florida.
Yeah.
And this horse farm is this, and this place. And so we give that to the police. Now, because we have the make of the car, missing and exploited children call, that was the time frame that when they called me, I thought I was going to pass out for real. And my best friend's like, do you want me to take the call? For some reason, I felt, no, I have to do this. And by the way, her father's everybody is doing something. It's not me. This isn't about me.
Yes.
This
is, you had a whole team come together.
You know,
yeah.
I remember my feelings. And when I was on the phone with him, I haven't even put this in the documentary. See, it's so amazing. Like, things that just come back to you after so talking about it more and more with a stranger who doesn't know the story kind of thing. Is it's not just like, okay, send us her picture. We got her. They ask hard questions. Has there ever been any sexual abuse in your family? Has there any been? I'm like, whoa.
You know? You're like, just post the picture.
I'm like, are you trying to make me cry?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, it was probably 40 minutes on the phone, giving them all kinds of information about my daughter, anything that we knew, picture of that car, for them to then put it on the missing and exploited children's, and then on it goes on digital billboards. Yeah. All across the United States. So they wanted to know, again, the trajectory, you know, so that they can try to aim it there. By the way, there's hundreds of thousands of missing children. There's thousands of missing kids a day.
Yeah.
So you're not the only parent that they're concerned
with. Yeah,
but
yeah.
This is my only daughter.
Right.
And this is all I'm concerned with at that point.
Yeah.
And, again, going back to the resources you don't have, that you don't know what to do. When we found the sex contract and that was given to the police, it just took, it then went so quick, Adam.
Yeah.
They put it out an all points bulletin for this car with, they got three. Now, I think it was two, and then the next number could have been a two, like AB2, whatever kind of thing. They put that out, be on the lookout, but do not.
Don't
pull
approach.
Over.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know how long it was, but a police officer in Kentucky saw the car. By the way, she was spotted at a rest stop as well. So they pulled the cameras, saw them at a rest stop. So they did feed us that information. But that stuff was actually more terrifying to me than. I almost didn't want to know that things, because it's like she's getting further and further away, further and further. So this policeman pulled him over, avoided what was being told to him, pulled over based on there's a female and a male in the car, and it's the same making thing in some little town in Kentucky. Pulled her over. When they pulled her over, and he came to the side of the car, guns drawn. She jumped out of the car, ran into his arms. The guy was arrested, and in his trunk was knives, Visqueen, zip ties,
fuck,
and handcuffs.
What the fuck?
Yeah. He was a divorce manager from Dairy Queens, a Dairy Queen. In his house, he had built like a pseudo dungeon.
What the fuck?
With a mattress, with a thing to pee in.
It's just, he was just going to hold her prisoner.
Yep. In the middle of nowhere.
What the fuck? What a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And what was his name?
His name was John Rush.
John Rush.
He pled guilty. He got 35 years. It was like 10 years and then all different things added up to 35 years. And then they found a whole bunch of child pornography on his.
Got
so
it.
Then when he's out,
it's
he
not
goes
the fact
there.
He had a girl in his car with Visqueen and knives.
Yeah, not enough.
We'll find the child porn and that'll do 35 years.
Yeah.
What the
so
fuck?
So then the child porn he will be convicted of when his sentence is over in Kentucky. He'll be expedited.
There should be no sentence over.
Yeah, no. And he had no record.
Because he bought her.
Mm-hmm.
That's so fucked up to even be saying.
I know, right?
And who's the one that sold her?
His name is Fred Lucius.
Of course, Lucius.
Yes, yeah. So he...
Fred Lucius.
He wasn't caught for a while. So the aftermath... Like, you think that first your worst nightmare just happened, and now your biggest miracle, they found your daughter.
Yeah.
But to this day, I've never gotten her back. She's never been the same.
Yeah. Well, a teenager's mind is strong. They can overcome some of those things in time.
And they say that when a tragedy occurs, that's the the age that they kind of stop at for a while.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but the things I've learned after that, the things I never wanted to know that occur.
Yeah.
I sat in a van, I sat in a car outside of iDrive and trying to track a girl down. Watched in Geneva,
yeah.
Florida, outside a big white house on a beautiful piece of property for a long, long time, weeks. Girls come and go.
Yeah.
Follow that van to iDrive. Then get out at a well-known hotel. Guy pulls up. He doesn't look like a tweaker or crackhead kind of thing. He looks like actually kind of a good-looking guy.
Yeah, yeah.
In my mind, I'm assuming he's saying to the valet, hey, dude, can I keep the van here? These young girls dressed like hoochie mamas walking up someone's room. A few hours later, coming back. Van leaves. Over and over and over. So Green Hand Project is trying to work with the police to get harder sentences and bigger consequences for people who look the other way.
Mm.
There is no reason that someone shouldn't be on alert that a young girl is
watching
walking
that
up to a man's room.
Out of a hotel.
I mean a room.
Yeah.
Somebody's noticing. Maybe not the first time. Maybe not the second time.
Yeah.
But third, fourth, fifth time.
People
and
see
if
it.
It's not the valet, it's the concierge. It's somebody is noticing these things.
Yeah.
And they're looking the other way because either they've been tipped or they're just busy.
Yeah.
So we want to educate people on what to look for. You live in a tourist town. There's so many things that you could see. So our end goal of Green Hand Project is to be able to get out the symbol of the green hand in every store, restaurants, places that people frequent, that those staff members would have been trained, or at least the manager's been trained, and there's a number to call. So if you're sex trafficked and you see that hand, you know that's a safe haven for you, and we have the number to call.
Love this idea.
So this is what Green Hand
Project. Safe places all around. If you're at that rest stop, if you're at that place.
Yep. But it's, we have to start with education. So our nonprofit is trying to raise funds to train these people and to have somebody in each location to call. You can't just call 911. They'll be like, oh, we'll send the police.
Yeah.
You can't walk into 7-Eleven and say, I shouldn't be with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, for most of those people, like, I'm out of it.
They're 20-year-old kids. They'll be like, what do you mean? You want a pack of cigs? You know.
And a lot of people, I don't want to part. Don't tell me anything.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we are actively seeking and to train and to get those storefronts.
Is your daughter helping you with the nonprofit?
At this point, no.
Okay. Her story certainly is.
Yeah, her story is, and I hope that once she sees the documentary, that she feels judged. She feels ashamed.
Sure. I get that.
She feels...
Tell her to use the anger for that.
Find
the anger for it, you know?
My message to her is always, sweetheart, no one would ever blame you if you were a victim the rest of your life. But if you rise up and do good, they win if you're a victim.
That's right.
You win.
That's right.
If not.
That's right.
And, you know, as she gets older,
I would certainly encourage her to jump in with the nonprofit. Yes. But she can take a lot of that hurt and pain and turn it to an anger.
Yes.
And that'll fuel what this nonprofit she's doing. That'll help out other girls and use that hurt, that pain, that resentment, that regret, that shame she feels, and motivate. Anger is not always a bad thing, and to turn it, to use it to anger, to find some level of motivation for help.
Absolutely, and I'm so all about that. But as you know, you can only push your kids.
That's right. That's right.
So we have.
She'll be okay.
Yeah. The first documentary is story with more detail, a lot more details of what we just laid out here and into getting her home and what happened after that.
Yeah.
And that you don't have as many resources as you think. It's just not as simple as picking up the phone and calling the police. Since all this occurred, this, Michaela, my daughter's story has been a catalyst to bring two girls, to discover two girls were in a conversation with somebody, to the point that one of the girls was getting her passport and at 18 going to Canada because she had been shamed and ridiculed.
And
simply because I was at the pool and the friend I hadn't seen in a while said, look, you know, I'm sorry I didn't reach out to you after Michaela. By the way, you really realize who your true friends are. People are scared.
Yeah.
They want to think it's the boogeyman. If it can happen to me, Stacey Burgess, realtor, you know, director of business development, it can happen to anybody. They like to think it's some kind of, you know, only...
some parent that's not watching and
some homeless kid. Yeah, or some,
yeah.
I don't
or a
know,
runaway foster
doesn't
kid.
Doesn't mean that it makes it any better. But
that's right.
It's a self-defense mechanism.
Sure.
So
what's that cognitive dissonance? They build that cognitive dissonance. It can't be me.
It can't.
There's no way.
It can't happen to me.
That's right.
Because I'm not divorced. One. Or it can't happen to me because my child's sleeping in the room.
And I check her phone every
night. All the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't happen to me because she has the best friends.
9 months, the plans that some of these sadistic fucks have. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, and he still, this is how our judicial system doesn't stick up for the victims. It is all pro-criminal. Fred Lucius still has not been convicted. He's been in jail. He was convicted for the rape of the other girl that happened at the same time. That had to come first.
Mm-hmm.
He, because he has nothing to lose, he has fired almost every lawyer. Every time he fires a lawyer, we have to start over. That means my daughter has to give depositions about the most painful part of her life. I have to give depositions. He then decided he's going to be his own lawyer. And we went to court trying to fight that he doesn't get to cross-examine her. We lost. It's against his constitutional rights if he doesn't get to question her.
And this was the seller.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the high school quarterback, quotes.
Yes. And there was a lot of other horrific things he did to her that we didn't find out till after the fact. But because
Is he still in Orlando?
He's in Polk County Jail.
Okay.
So he got sentenced in Orange County, then sent to Polk County for our trial. Again, we're going on 5 years.
And like you said, I mean, to watch your daughter have to relive that through deposition after deposition, but knowing, like you said in the very beginning of this, is if not, that person goes free.
Right. He only serves the few years he got for the rape.
Jesus.
So, and then he's back on the streets. Even if he has, oh, he's a predator, this, that, and that, they find places to live. They hide on the internet and they find another girl.
Yeah.
And so that is why I'm so proud of her. Because she is bound and determined at her own. It hurts her. It is unbelievably painful emotionally up to the time of a trial.
Yeah.
We're going to trial. She had a great job down south. Bring her up here for the trial. We go in. She's like, Mom, I want you to stay here. I don't want you to see him again. Bad thing happened when I saw him one time. Let's just put it at that.
Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah.
So what you envision you would do to him is what I...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and again, we have no rights as victims. So we're there. All the emotions. And by the way, your child is so upset, they're shutting down, they're turning on you. You're trying to be strong. You're trying not to talk. I'm a talker as a mom. You're driving there. She walks in. He had agreed to a sentence. He agreed to a plea after all these years. This was not this November, last November.
So 5 years through a whole trial, then takes the plea deal.
Yeah, we weren't going to plead him out, but it was a good plea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so not this November, the year before, so not 2019, 2018. We are finally, I'm saying, sweetheart, we can start 2019 fresh. This is the first day of the rest of your life. We just have to get through this week. No matter what,
yeah,
you have stood strong And she was going to have, she had to face him. And he comes out in court. And he's, no, I don't think I'm going to take the plea. I'm not done with you
Motherfucker.
Yet. That's what he says to her.
I'm not done with you
I'm
yet?
I'm not done yet. Or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm in the, she won't let me go in. By the way, you lose all rights to helping your child once they turn 18 as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I, you can imagine. So that the DAs don't like me anymore, you know, because they, no matter how hard they try, it's just, their hands are tied so many ways. And I think I yelled at him. I said something like, I can't believe you're letting him make you, what pussy you are. Something horrible I said to the DA, even though he's the one trying this and he's upset as well. But I'm like, he is more intelligent than all of you guys. He got a day out. He got a shower and a new suit. And he's here and he's like, meh, take it, you know. So then he decides he's going to get a lawyer. That was November 2018. And guess what? That meant we start all
over again.
Yeah. All over. Because he knows. He's being held in county. County's better than prison. He's in jail. But Polk County, I mean, come on, Grady Judd is like awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't let them have, you know, frills there.
Yeah, maybe we'll get lucky and some friends of the show in Polk County Jail that have a friend in
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Maybe say hello
Fred
to him.
Fred Lucius, and we can give you his picture.
Maybe say hello to him.
Exactly. But he knows. He has nothing. What does he have to lose?
Yeah.
It's a game to him.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like it. The way he's saying things like, I'm not done with you.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, to that
That would be so hard if I'm a bailiff standing there with a pistol, not to just, I'm like, you know what? That's it. You said that. That's it. I'll take my chances.
Considering also you're not allowed to tell the jury that he's a convicted child rapist. He was on the predator sex offender list when he was out on parole.
They're not allowed to say that?
You're not allowed to introduce that unless he accidentally says something because it's prejudicatory against him.
What the fuck? No, yeah. It's criminal history.
Nope. Nope.
Kidding?
Nope. Oh, I'm not kidding.
What the fuck? This is ridiculous. So
it is.
And so now he's took the plea deal and got sentenced? Or is it still up in the air?
No, it's still out there.
Still in the air?
Still in the air.
Piece of shit.
Right?
So still in the air.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean.
Well, our tax dollars pay for all these. Oh, by the way, we brought my daughter up from Fort Lauderdale where she had an excellent job, was finally coming into her own.
Yeah.
For the trial. He had a cold. So we need to.
He had a fucking cold.
He had a fucking cold. So we now need to reschedule this for 4 months.
Oh my God!
Yeah, this is well. What's the open
this
court
is a
date
game
on
to him.
You? The open court date's this date. Oh well, we got to get you a new lawyer, and we've got to redo this because it's expired. Redo that. It's like
he's playing the system for real.
Oh,
knows exactly what he's doing.
Exactly.
And maybe after some time passes, he's like time served. He comes out after whatever amount of time, and that's
this is a life sentence.
Okay.
So they do take. You know, that into but he's already been convicted for the other, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, holy mackerel, but it's two different counties and state lines. Like, everything matters. I mean, everything just makes it so much harder. And, like, people are like, oh, you're so strong. I'm like, no, it's like, he wins if my life goes downhill.
Yeah.
But do you know what it's like? To wake up, you know, you had a great weekend Sunday. Monday morning, you're rocking out with your son on the way to school, mainly because he's 14 and won't talk to you. You know what I mean? Because you're pumped up about your day and like, oh, a phone call comes across. It's the DA. Hey, Stacy, I need to go over something with you. It's like I feel like I live a Dateline existence at some point. It's not part of your life every day.
Yeah.
But it's hanging over you. You had the worst thing that ever can happen to you happen.
Yeah.
To your child.
Yeah.
To you. To your family. To your friends. It rocks you to the core about the good in people on some end.
Yeah.
And it rocks you to the core on a better end about how incredible people are who do want
it
to help.
It came together for you.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you stay strong. But you don't feel strong. You know? You don't. All it takes is that one call to make you close to
tears. Go right back there. Well, I mean, yeah, both of you experienced, I mean, some obvious traumatic experiences, both of you.
You know, and, you know, therapists, they try, you know, that kind of stuff. They try, but it's like you feel like you need closure. And then, like, I've come to terms with the fact after 5 years, I may never get that closure.
Yeah.
There are details my daughter may never share with me. I made a mistake and read some of the transcripts. And you think you know, I told you about the day.
Yeah.
But you don't know what was the story of the grooming.
Yeah.
And that's for her to share.
Yeah, yeah.
And I stopped at a certain point. I stopped at learning about the videos and not being able to find out. I'm like calling the police detective. She's so awesome, by the way. And like, can you tell if my daughter watched those? I can't ever unsee that little boy being bent over a couch.
I was going to say, yeah, no, dude.
And I pray to God my daughter didn't watch that or started to and shut it off.
Yeah.
Because it's a full act. And those are, you know, those are the things that you wish you never, ever knew. You don't want to be naive, but you do want to be a little naive. You know, I want to believe the best in people. But to know that the manager serving your kids soft serve with, hey, do you want it dipped in chocolate?
That's the guy.
Is the man who bought a girl?
Yeah.
With the intentions of violating her. Assuming for the rest of her life until he was done with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fucking, you know,
that's disgusting.
Right?
That's sick. That's the individuals out there that can live like that, man.
It is.
It
truly is.
I thank you for coming on here.
Yes. I know I'm long-winded. I never know what to say.
You're not. This is not long-winded at all. The fact that you're strong enough to sit here and tell this story to people, you know, if Michaela's ever strong, she's more than welcome to come on here. I wish her nothing but love and strength and to get through the trial. I would certainly, you know, I was a therapist for a while.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. Okay.
I'd encourage her to get on the mission with you. Mm-hmm. That would be my advice to her. Otherwise, there's not much you can do or tell somebody that's been through something that traumatic. It can take time, and sometimes it can be close, but I think I have found that in the fight, of fighting what has happened to you can do some serious healing in someone. Perhaps why you've taken on the fight of the Green Hand Project.
Well, I feel like the embarrassment of laying the story out, because we all want to live a normal life, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I've lived an extraordinary life. Mm. And I try always to put others' needs before my own. But when it's personal and you're sharing it, you really are, I'm praying this documentary really does good. And somebody sees it who is willing to help us with Green Hand Project. We are off the ground. We actually have another meeting with Osceola County School Districts to get our educational curriculum for into the schools.
That's good.
But there's only a few of us. You know, we all have full-time jobs. We all have kids. But this is an epidemic. And it's getting worse because they're brazen. And iDrive, do not let your kids walk up and down iDrive by themselves. You know, it's pecking grounds.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, iDrive number
so
one.
So many hotels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the hotels down the line, international flights not far away.
Correct.
People visiting from all over the place.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's if I can help one girl or boy not have to go through this, one family heal, then I'm not saying it was worth what happened. Nothing was worth what happened. Yeah. But it's
worth you sitting here telling the story.
Right, absolutely.
And going through that. You've said tons of advice for parents, things to listen to be cognizant of, to look for, to watch out for. Thank you again for sharing all this advice.
No problem.
Where can people go if they want to help?
You can go on Facebook on the Green Hand Project or on our website, greenhandproject.org. And we are doing workshops in different areas and with different businesses, because it's very important to educate people. people in emergency rooms what to look for. And these workshops are, we have kids workshops that are not, they will not hear this story. That's, yeah. We're not here to terrify kids, but we're here to teach them. We actually, Janelle Farrell actually wrote a book, a children's book, that we're raising money to print. We've printed a few copies, but to print, to get it free to all kids. It's not really about sex trafficking. It's called Mimic Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at some of the things in the book as a child, and you're, here's an example. It's all done with sea life. It's like, do you know what you're really looking at?
Ah.
And so when under the sea, and it looks like a piece of coral, and you go to touch it, and it swims away, you know? Mm-hmm. Touch beautiful piece of coral, you touch it, it's fire coral and burns you. So okay. You don't know what you... And then we address that with our educational curriculum on teaching the teachers how to teach this sensitive topic, because you can't wait till middle school. By then, these kids are so savvy on social media, they've been exposed to a lot of things that we need to get them young, that if... When kids are in, like, anywhere from third to fifth grade, I call it the tattling years.
Mm.
You know, they're like, Mom, this guy, this person, I don't know him. You've said if I don't know him. Thank you, Johnny. You can go on it. They're trying to get through to boys through Minecraft, through Xbox, and they're always normally the really good players. They're mimicking themselves as a player on their TikTok. A lot of the people that that's new, they're following a lot of the people there, and then they start making comments on it, like the pervs start making comments on it, and then they say, they message your, oh my God, wasn't that the most awesome, dude, we should make a TikTok like that.
Complimenting,
kind of
walking through.
Yeah, because like, they're not like, hey, can I hold your hand, sweetheart? Find my puppy. Here's some candy.
Right,
they
right,
graduated
right.
way beyond that.
Yeah,
you know,
this is ridiculous.
It is, and it's not a whole bunch of kids, little girls and boys stolen from the border and locked in the back of a U-Haul, and you find them like on Law and Order. That does happen. But there's a whole nother avenue of sex trafficking is what we want to set these workshops up so that we can educate parents. And then if they do discover who to reach out to, what do you do?
Yeah.
Call 911. All right, I'll have a police officer
now
go
what?
There. Police officer, people come to your house on things like that. They don't know where to report it to.
Yeah.
Also, getting in each police department, a sex trafficking department. St. Pete just got a sex trafficking task force.
Nice.
Within 30 days, they busted a whole crew.
Holy,
I posted on Facebook these four guys who were raping toddlers.
Yeah, I think maybe we should move away from the drug enforcement and let's move toward human trafficking and people's children being taken.
Exactly.
I mean, if it's number two underneath drugs, forget about the firearms. Then, you know, if it's going back and forth, there certainly needs to be an agency just for that dedicated.
It is. And they do try so hard.
And your story needs to be continually shared. I think you should keep telling this story as much as you can. As long as she's okay with it being told. And I would keep doing that. For me, hearing this, other people that can hear this will help people. And anything that I can do to help the Greenham Project, I will certainly do.
That's fantastic. And any of your viewers, if you'll share this, because not everyone can watch something live, and then when it goes out, the podcast, sharing it with others.
Yeah.
And it's...
Well, once we go live,
people make fun of me when...
For what?
Because I always move my hands and... I did a podcast where I'm always about hitting the table.
No.
I get passionate about this.
That's it, yeah.
And it's hard, and it's not about me. It really isn't even about my family. It's about the next generation being educated enough not to fall victim.
Yeah.
And parents to stand up and not being afraid to have that hard conversation with your kid.
Or be so naive you think it won't be your kid.
Exactly. It is. But thank you so much for having me on.
No, thanks for sharing, Stacey. Yeah, I appreciate
this
very much. And again, one more time to find information on everything.
Yeah, Greenham Project on Facebook, or greenhamproject.org is our website. And watch for the premiere of the documentary. It is about to be launched shortly, as well as set workshops that you can sign up to attend in Central Florida and across the globe.
Thanks, Stacey.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. We'll see you next time.